and a rocky new year, European leaders warn of a rough 2012.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning and happy new year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. 2012 is shaping up to be a tough year for the Eurozone. Most economists predict a recession. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us now live from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
So, Stephen, a pretty gloomy start to 2012.
Yes, leaders usually like to bound into the new year brimming over with confidence and optimism, but they're certainly not doing that this year. The German leader, for example, says Europe is facing its severest test in decades. But the gloom is sadly justified. Eurozone governments have between them to borrow more than $200 billion over the next 3 months, and their borrowing costs are climbing. So there is the prospect of one or more of them defaulting. The euro itself is taking the heat. It's just ended its second consecutive annual decline against the dollar, down 13% from its peak of 2 years ago.
Well, it can't be all gloom and doom, can it? Are there any glimmers of hope?
Well, how's this for a glimmer? The Italian Prime Minister says Italy has hauled itself back from the edge of the precipice. That's about the most upbeat thing he has to say. While the German leader, Angela Merkel, says Eurozone countries are growing closer because of the crisis. But Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank sees little comfort in that.
If indeed Merkel is right that the euro is helping the Europeans to grow together, I'm afraid that they're going to grow together as a low-growth economy rather than as a sort of high-growth economy that she would like and indeed that the world needs.
He says all the austerity in Europe is condemning the eurozone to a vicious downward spiral. Many economists now say that as the US recovers further this year, the eurozone could well slip back into recession.
Our own Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
In spite of the gloomy news, European markets are popping champagne corks this morning. Markets in Germany and France are up. Asian markets rose as well. The Shanghai Composite Index jumped 1.2%. Chinese manufacturing rose in December. That's being seen as a good sign for the global economy. U.S. markets ended 2011 on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.5%, ending the year at 12,217. That is still 5.5% higher than where it started the year.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
You've come a long way, Big Blue. For the first time in its 100-year history, IBM is under the leadership of a woman, Virginia Romity, a longtime executive who rose through the ranks. Does she deserve special attention for being a female CEO? Bob Moon has more.
After all these years, why is this still newsworthy? Eileen Lang heads Catalyst, which tracks the progress of women in business. She was kind of anticipating my question.
I'll be really happy when people don't call me to comment on the first.
Yes, Romity is the first woman to head IBM, but she's joining other women CEOs, Meg Whitman at Hewlett-Packard and Ursula Burns at Xerox. That's progress, Lang says, but even though women comprise half the country's workforce, only 18 lead any of the Fortune 500 companies.
It's very hard for even very talented, experienced women to be taken seriously as contenders for the top jobs.
Forrester research analyst Bobby Cameron has seen firsthand how tough it can be for female execs climbing the tech industry ladder.
I go to meetings all the time where most of the people in the room, senior execs in the technology side of both the vendors and the buyers, are men.
Eileen Lang concedes not many women choose an engineering career path into the tech world, but that doesn't explain why women in general struggle to land the top jobs.
Honestly, every field is male-dominated. Every industry is male-dominated.
Lang says it can only help, though, when such an iconic name as IBM decides the best qualified CEO is a woman. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
If you like college football, today is your day. Six bowl games. These days, of course, a lot of colleges are hoping to parlay sports love into sorely needed cash, including one school in Florence, Alabama. Alabama Public Radio's Ryan Vasquez has more.
6 months ago, the University of North Alabama jumped up a level from Division II sports to Division I. Athletic Director Mark Linder says it's not just about bringing in more fans, but also new students.
We see this as a way for us to go get more customers. Because if we're going to stay stagnant, waiting for Montgomery to bail us out, we're not optimistic about that. So it's kind of like control your own destiny.
The school's publicity campaign is even called Destiny by Choice. Linder says the last 20 universities that made the transition to Division I grew by 11%.
Now, is athletics the only reason why these institutions grew? No, I'm sure there were some other fantastic things going on their campus, but it seems like athletics was a catalyst.
If the University of North Alabama grew by 11%, it would mean 800 more paying students. It could also mean big money to play football games against larger Division I schools like Auburn or Mississippi State. But you have to spend money to make money. And that worries students like Tony Amilan.
I mean, we're trying to go Division I with no money, so that's an issue. I mean, I think it's $4 million that we got to come up with.
Actually, it's $3.5 million. The students voted against the move to Division I because the university plans to raise the student fee by more than $200 a year. The school would also have to add two more sports to qualify for Division I. Ralph Alcalanu is the student government president.
We kind of were hearing all the different increases in fees that we're going to put in place. And, you know, students didn't really see the move to Division I as really worth the amount they were going to pay.
But this summer, the school's board voted 6-3 to take the leap to Division I. And the University of North Alabama expects to seize its destiny beginning in 2013. From Florence, Alabama, I'm Ryan Vasquez for Marketplace.
And finally, New Year's resolution for the airline industry, bear the fare. Well, it's more like the Department of Transportation's resolution. Starting later this month, it's requiring that when airlines advertise a fare, they include fees and taxes. Those can tack as much as 20% onto the final ticket price. They will not have to include fees for baggage or the extra legroom or the cocktail you will need to keep your sanity. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.